Before we begin with our prayer for illumination and our scripture reading for today, I wanted to start by saying what a joy and a privilege it is for me to stand before you this morning as your lead presbyter for transformation. That means that I am responsible for fostering our community of 90-plus churches across Pastor Jonathan Smiley Face map of West and Central Illinois, called Great Rivers Presbytery, of which we are all a part. Now, the reason why I have a different title than the person who came before me, who was General Presbyter, is because we have come to recognize that the ministry landscape has changed so much, we can no longer be the same kind of church, the same kind of presbytery that we have been before. We need to be more relational, more connected, more collaborative, more imaginative. In fact, we need to be something new altogether, hence my new title, Lead Presbyter for Transformation. And it has been a great walk for me to partner up with very gifted people who care deeply about the church and what it stands for, people who love Jesus. I got to witness that love of Jesus here among you back in September. And I was grateful for the Parasol Ministry events that you put on. That's parents and relatives assessing solutions for extraordinary lives, creating support space for families of loved ones with mental illness and developmental disabilities. The video that I made with you from that September 8th gathering has been viewed over 2,000 times, shared throughout the presbytery and the Presbyterian Church as a model for how to connect with our neighbors. So for me, this is you witnessing, and God's glory flowing through you. And that model has been provided for other Presbyterians. For me, that's what it means to be a presbytery. In the early days of the church, Apostle Paul strengthened a community of churches, those taking responsibility for the ministry together and with each other. And the early church understood that it was at its strongest when everyone was chipping in. It wasn't called per capita then, but somebody had to pay the postage that sent Paul's letters all over that part of the world, those letters that would become our New Testament part of the Bible. Being part of a connected network of churches has been part of our identity since the very beginning. And so I thank you, First Presbyterian Church of Jacksonville, for your part in chipping in. I am so grateful for how you have paid your per capita, how you have honored your pledges with your shared mission giving, which serves to pool our resources together in our part of the world here today. And above all, on behalf of Great Rivers Presbytery, I thank you for the 7 or 8 or so generations of Christian disciples that your church community has created. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let us pray together. Gracious and most amazing God, we thank you for this space, this community, where we can pool our faith together, where we can witness your glory shining through us. God, we ask that you bless this space. Pour yourself out upon us. Help us to feel you and know you alive in our midst and in this scripture reading today. Open the eyes of our minds, our hearts, our very beings to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like to share a scripture reading for you from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Hear the word of God. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Imagine there was a moment when Jesus walked on water. Imagine there was a moment when one of us, a disciple, stood on the water with him. Imagine there was a moment where that flimsy, transparent veil between heaven and earth was blown away by the Holy Spirit and heaven was here. Wouldn't it be great to walk on water? Wouldn't it be great to be lifted above the chaos? Wouldn't it be great to finally be able to stand on our own two feet, to finally be able to stand at all? I don't know about you. I'm not doing this whole faith thing just so I can sit in a boat. I want to experience the divine. I want to stand. I want to move. I would love to walk on water. And not just me. I want to be a part of a whole community that dares to believe what is possible in Jesus Christ, who will help me take that first step, who can encourage me on where and when to stand, a community that will dare to risk, dare to fail, dare to try. Notice God doesn't slap down Peter for the audacity of asking, "Can I walk on water with you, Jesus?" When Peter says, "I want to walk on water," Jesus says, "Sure, let's do it." There are three lessons from this moment that I want to share with you today so we can all, in our own way, walk on water with God. The first, do not let fear kill the miracle before it even begins. You'll notice the first response the disciples have to Jesus is fear. They don't recognize Jesus. They can't see God because of their fear. They think he's a ghost. The reason is because fear limits our ability to see things clearly. Fear makes us unable to see God in our midst. This same gospel in chapter 25 says how God can be found in the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the vulnerable, the sick, the incarcerated. Fear makes us unable to see the divine in each other, the very people we are called to serve. Can we hear the voice of Jesus over our own fears, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." May we never let fear determine who we should shut out, lest we miss the miracle altogether, Jesus' outstretched hand, as we cower in the safest part of the boat. The second thing that Peter teaches us here is our fullest faith comes from the community itself. One of the things that our Western culture has wrongly taught us is that faith is entirely an individual thing. It's not. It is not Peter's strong faith individualism that makes him stand above the waves. No, it's his individualism that makes him sink. Peter can walk on water because the faith around him is stronger than his own. It's his parents' faith that first opened his eyes to the possibilities of God. It's Jesus' faith that calls him forward. It's his fellow disciples' faith cheering him on from the boat. And this is really important for a day like today. All Saints' Day is not only about how beloved and great are the people who have come before us, but how we have been shaped by their faith. Those who were handed their faith by the generations that shaped them. Ours is a collective faith, faith that consolidates within a community like yours. That faith is the faith that lifts us up above the waves. If we choose to live in community together, we can actually draw on it like faith on tap. This unending community drinking fountain machine of sweet, sweet faith. That's why we come to the table every month. We consume faith. We're restored by the faith of Jesus Christ as it flows from the communion table and strengthens us for the journey. Faith helps us blaze through raging waters when we are strong. The faith of the community carries us through when we are weak. Third, we must stay focused and on point. In the story, Peter doesn't get very far, does he? He begins to doubt. "Peter, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, the word for doubt in this story is perhaps better translated as the word waver. Why did you waver? Peter wavers because he becomes distracted by the waves. As soon as he wavers, fear finds its opening. And he feels disconnected from the faith that lifts him up, and he begins to sink. Especially where we are now, at this time in history, right now, 2 days before a contentious election, where we have been battered by the waves of $5 billion of election advertisements trying to claim our attention, many of those messages using fear to influence us. We need to make sure we do not become distracted. We need to make sure we do not waver. We must remember who we are as a church. You see, we already have received our marching orders. We are to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. We have biblical mandates that command us to stand in solidarity with the oppressed and create spaces for loving and inclusive community. But we have to stay focused on that task, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Yet this is where I have hope. Hope for the 90-plus Presbyterian churches of which we share a community. Because of you, I know that there is a community in Jacksonville where love comes first. Because of you, I know that there is a church option here where the gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached with integrity, where we can be declared welcomed, pardoned, cleansed, relieved, where the richness of Scripture can be shared in all its textured fullness. I know that there is a church in this community that embraces our diversity as a blessing, where we can bring our differing views to the table because we all have a valued place at that table, whether we are 7 years young or 80 years young, where women can lead side by side with men, where all have their say, where if we don't like something, you can change it. Seriously, we can show you how. Where we know our employees are properly screened and held accountable, where we share our resources to support our loved ones coping with mental illnesses and developmental disabilities. For all these reasons, I love being PCUSA, and I love that you are too. Even the word Presbyterian, as Pastor Jonathan explained in the children's message, comes from the Greek word elder, which means the church of leaders working together. In other words, we are the church of we, and this is our boat, a boat out of which can walk miracles. I don't know about you, I don't want to just sit in the boat. I want to walk on water. If we do that, before we can, we must not let fear hold us back. We must draw on our common faith together from those around us and those who have come before us, and we must stay focused, on point. Those who can do that are the ones who walk with Jesus on the water above the chaos. May we be the kind of community that can walk on water. Amen.